Welcome to Sweeping the Country one more time. I'm your host, Derek Walker. Along with me, my co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter, and a very, I mean very with a capital V, special guest, Mr. Doug Paisley. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Derek, how are you today?
Fantastic. You look wonderful.
Oh,
well, we're on audio only, so he looks great.
Yeah, nobody knows, Doug. Just let it go.
He looks as good as you, actually. Looks both.
Hey,
of you
wait a minute.
Great.
Now, wait. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm kind of frustrated in the world because we're such in a weird place. I saw where the LA, you know, all these cities have had problems, and I've heard that San Francisco, the Chinese American community, is pushing to try to get the city more toward the middle politically.
Well,
because they're trying to save their city. It's such a mess. The LA mayor had their home burglarized while she was in it.
Ouch.
A home invasion.
Oh my gosh.
While she was there. The mayor of Los Angeles, of all things. And then it's just crazy what's going on with these students at Columbia, at Yale this morning. They had the cops come in and clear out the place.
Oh, with the protests. Yeah, that was
with the protesters.
That was rough, yeah.
And I didn't realize they had some at Vanderbilt. I don't know if Doug knew that. They were a small group, but there's a group at Vanderbilt. There's a real big group at Columbia, and they're going as far as saying, blow up Israel, hate the Jews. I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, I've never heard that in this country, other than some, you know, a few lucky cuckoo people that would go around doing that, anti-Semitic, at least since World War II. And
it's
nutty.
This morning in Columbia, they were clearing out those protesters. Columbia told the police to get off the campus. They had to go to the edge of the campus, and they wouldn't allow the police on the campus.
Well, they were yelling at the police, too. The protesters were down with the police and all of that kind of stuff. I mean,
my question is,
such a strange place in society right now, and some people are blaming, and they're probably right. See, this is what's so weird. Part of that bill they passed in Congress this past weekend had a get rid of TikTok thing.
Yep, that's right.
A lot of people like TikTok. But I guarantee you, somebody has told the Republicans and the Democrats and the president the same thing of what's really going on. That's why they're all marching. They're scared to, but they're all marching the same step to get rid of the people who own it, you know, and maybe let an American company buy it or whatever, and TikTok can go on. But the Chinese people, because a lot of people are thinking, I think this is one of the secrets, that they've got the algorithm. We know I hate Facebook. I mean, I use it, but I hate it.
Yeah, that's a love hate.
Because I don't understand. Yeah. I said, "Did you see this on Facebook?"
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I didn't see this on Facebook because it's crazy, and Twitter's dead. I used to go there all the time.
Yeah,
and I loved looking for news. I was looking for some news there Saturday night. All they have is TikTok type funny videos and stuff like that on there. So it's gone. But how the kids get their news is I think that's the only – that TikTok has changed the algorithms where it made it pro-Hamas. It made it look like Israel was bad.
Well, I'll tell you this
so
right now.
That's what it was.
You know, I got young adult kids, and they don't watch the news necessarily, CNN, MSNBC.
No, they don't. Nobody does. They're all
Fox.
Looking at TikTok.
That's where they
and
get
Snapchat
it. That is
that
where they get
stuff.
It. And sometimes I got to straighten them out a little bit, you know, based on
well,
what
then
they
some
get.
People, you know, I mean, I've got friends – And we know who they are, that if you even hear the word CNN, they won't watch it. Even if it's something that they do well, like cover an earthquake somewhere or something, they do have worldwide resources. But if it's on there, they don't watch it. And with some good reason, because they'll always get back to some anti-Trump thing within a couple seconds. They never go too far away from that. And with Fox, they don't have the resource. They kind of do with Sky News. They can get to things, but CNN's usually a little better on the news gathering, but, you know, Fox has got their spin on things as well. Although lately they've been trying to, you know, not be as far right, at least on some of their shows. But CBS and people like that can't help themselves.
Let me ask both of you because
this woman this weekend on Face the Nation, and she badgers anybody that's Republican. And then it's smooth sailing for anybody that's Democrat. But this whole anti-police thing, anti-Jew thing, Jewish people thing. I've never heard of such a thing. Now, we've had in Nashville, we've had a couple of synagogues bombed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when it was, because on West End, if you ever ride by any of their synagogues, they've all got a police, unmarked police car right there in the front of the lot. Sometimes it's marked, you know, because I think they have 24/7 security, marked security. But, I mean, to hear young people say what they say, I mean, does that surprise you, Doug, to hear things like that?
No, not at all. Not today, that's for sure.
I have a question for both of you, because you guys, I mean, I've been along for 57 years, right? That's where I'm standing right now. And there was a time when I was a young kid that obviously I was oblivious to a lot of things, but has the Jewish hatred been a thing? Because I don't remember ever experiencing any of that as far as that type of racism growing up or anything. I don't remember any hatred that way.
No, I came from an area where, of course, we were close to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh had a fairly substantial Jewish population up there. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you recall, there was a synagogue
bad bombing
up
there. Just shot. Yeah. Shooting.
But the Wheeling Synagogue, Brad had a couple friends that were Jewish when he went to a school there.
Yeah.
And he said, he did a couple. I got something in my ear. He did a bar mitzvah for a kid was doing a bar mitzvah, and he asked Brad if he would come to it and do a song at the bar mitzvah.
Oh,
and
nice.
He did. And I went into that bar mitzvah, and it was such a small Jewish population that pretty much everyone in the church knew each other, maybe 400 people total.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking around the room, and I recognized several of these people. It was the owner of Lawrence and Sidney Good, L.S. Good and Company, was a department store. There were several other businessmen there. There was never, never any anti-Semitism in the Wheeling area. It was a Catholic area, Methodist, certainly not Southern Baptist. There weren't any of those, but it was mainly Methodist, Catholic, and a little bit of Jewish, and that's it. And there was never any problem between the Catholics, the Jews, the Methodists, or the Episcopalians. It didn't.
I mean, I'm raised in Montgomery, Alabama, of all places, you know, the cradle of the Confederacy.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the Hassans, the Kleinbergs. I was like almost in the middle of a Jewish neighborhood. And they celebrated different holidays than we did and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I never heard any kind of hate, you know, that type of hate coming. And this was in the late 50s and early 60s, you know, not that far away from World War II. And I never saw that. But then, I mean, to hear kids do it today, though.
But where is
you know,
it coming
this
from?
I mean, bunch of people. I don't know.
Is it coming from the social media channels pushing that agenda? Or is it?
That's what they think it's coming from TikTok. You know,
no,
I mean,
I think it's I personally think, in observing it on TV, I think it's coming from people who, for whatever reason, are sympathetic, you know, to the Islamic religion. And I think that they have stepped forward, and they're getting the backing of certain, I don't want to
political
name any
groups.
Names on here, but certain political groups and certain very, very, very wealthy non-Jewish people, like maybe somebody who's Greek, you know, to go any further. You know, look at the money that's being spent there. Look who has backed people like AOC.
Yeah.
If you watch when that date that Hamas raided the Jewish community and killed babies and everything
that was horrible.
Horrible. The coverage was very pro-Israeli for a couple of days.
It started that way. Yeah, it started
It started out that way. Even CNN, everybody was marching in the same step.
Right.
But
right.
when Israel, the Israeli forces started hitting back, that's when it started to turn. And you had, you know, you couldn't run the stuff that was going on that happened to the Jewish community. It was too obscene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't show it. You know, so you couldn't see it. But you were playing this other thing out on TV, and that's where you saw CNN flip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, again, there, it's, I think money has a lot to do with a lot of things, yeah, most everything. And the world, you know, that's just a little piece of the pie, Israel.
Yeah, sure.
Everything else is the Middle East, you know, and that's when they want their coverage, so they can't be pro-Israeli necessarily. Although, you know, they do go over there and do lives from there, but they're definitely sensitive to other people's feelings. But the anti-cop, anti-Semitic thing has just been just one of these things that's just, I don't know. I mean, I think you've seen everything, and then you really haven't seen everything.
You've watched. I mean, both of you have watched. You've seen what they did with Oregon and the drug laws and making everything legal. And then they flip it around, what, 2 years later, and they go, gosh, this isn't working at all. We have to have some rules, you know, and they're flipping back over the other way. It's almost like we're getting a little bit of a wake-up call. I hope
we are. Why is there no outrage? I get a thing. It's called Officer Down. And every time it's got to get to them, so sometimes I get it quicker than others.
Yeah.
But any time that a police officer dies, I get a note on it. I just don't see outrage in too many places about some of this.
You know,
you had a police officer killed in the last 2 days or so up in Idaho.
Yep.
And there was definitely outrage about that, right?
Yeah, Deputy Tobin Bolter, 27 years old, served for Ada County, and he'd been there since January, but he was in Meridian before that. And then he was in Pleasant Hill, California, serving before that. He was 7 years on the force. But I have already seen in a day and a half, 2 days, there's going to be a vigil in one of the towns, local towns, Star, Idaho. They're having a vigil for him. Every flag is at half-mast here in the state today. The governor's asked for that. And there is some outrage. And, of course, the guy who allegedly gunned him down, and some of the dash cam is showing, didn't even let him get to the car. The guy that shot him was 65 years old.
But he wasn't a master criminal, though, was he?
He had a warrant.
Just kind of a down-and-out kind of guy with, you know, just
that's know, what we know. What you just said is what we know. He had a warrant out for his arrest, and he basically, you know, assisted suicide from the cops because they went after him. They found him and got in a gunfight with him.
He fired back at him, and there you go.
And it's over.
Well, even since then, this officer is Officer Luis Huesca, I hope I pronounce his name, shot and killed 3100 block of West 56th Street, 2:55 a.m. in Chicago, driving home from his shift. Other officers were alerted to the shooting by gunshot detectors. He was still in uniform, but his gun and badge had been stolen along with his personal vehicle. So he was carjacked, but they carjacked a cop. He was transported to University of Chicago, where he died, you know, on the scene. There.
What do people think is going to happen if there are no police? What do they really think? I mean, honestly, that just seems so silly to me.
I mean, it is silly, and I don't understand it. You know, I mean, here's another one. I didn't even hear about this one. Police Officer Jordan Wingate, Oakland Police Department.
Oh, boy.
Died of injuries sustained August 13th while responding to a suspicious person call at the Port of Oakland. The vehicle pulled into its path, struck and horrible. But you don't hear a lot of outrage for it for whatever reason.
But listen to this outrage.
Yeah.
And I watched this yesterday. So some detectives or police officers, I forget exactly where it was, they were serving a warrant in a motel room, or they were in a motel room waiting on a sexual deviant perpetrator who was supposed to be linking up with a teenage girl. He knocks on the door. The two police officers open the door. There's a video, a body cam.
Yeah.
They open the door. The guy standing out on the balcony, the perpetrator, he pulls out a gun. And as he pulls out a gun, they shoot him.
Yeah.
And they shot him several times because there were a couple guys hidden behind the wall, shot him also. The outrage is they shot him too many times.
This is a
sexual deviant who's prying on teenage girls or young people, and he's carrying a gun, and he pulls the gun on police officers who identify themselves and said, you know, surprise, you're under arrest. And he pulls out a gun from his jacket. And so they shoot him. And now the press wants somebody hung for shooting him.
Yeah, what? I don't get that at all. I don't
That's
understand
happened,
it even.
But many times, it's just, it's insanity again, you know, but I mean, I'm left without words because the press coverage of things is so messed up because there's so newspapers and all these folks don't have anybody almost to go cover a news story anymore.
Yeah, that is
at
true.
Many
that
of
is
these
true.
Places all over the country, or like even a young person told me, said they have a hard time watching the news because it looks like it's amateur hour on there. You know, the kids are so young that are doing the news that it looks like the Weekly Reader, you know, and it's supposed to be a big market city.
My question, my question is, when does the outrage, like you were talking about, Doug, and Jimmy, too, and I agree with both of you, when does the outrage go the other way? You whip out a gun on police. I mean, I was taught as a kid, as soon as I could drive, I remember my father said, if you ever get pulled over, you put both hands on the wheel and you wait for instructions, right? You don't do anything.
Exactly.
And since then, I've modified that to where I put my hands like this in a prayer format, and I put my license in between, and I hold it like that. And they come up. Usually, they're laughing, and they say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm praying, and I'm holding my license for you," you know, at the same time. But I was taught not to reach under the seat to try to grab something. Just put your hands on the wheel. There seems to be a disrespect for that, and the more I see. I'm going to just say, use the word immigration. The more I see immigration, legal or not, but mostly illegal, the more I see that, the more I see the disrespect for our men and women in blue.
Well, you know, this officer that died in Idaho approaching the car.
Yeah.
Here's one on Friday, April the 12th. Memphis police officer Joseph McKinney shot and killed while investigating a suspicious vehicle. He and other officers were approaching the vehicle when the occupants opened fire on them. Officers returned fire before the car fled. Officers pursued the vehicle, took two wounded subjects in custody after it stopped. The adult subject died of gunshot wounds. Juvenile subject suffered critical wounds. Adult subject out of bond from an arrest. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of these criminals are people who are out on bond, as that guy had a warrant for his arrest, and they had semi-automatic weapons. Officer McKinney was transported to the hospital where he succumbed to it.
That sounded like an ambush, Jimmy. I mean, that sounded like they just...
Well, they walked up on a gang,
probably,
walked up on a gang, and they didn't. And they knew, they said, they're just, you know, it's like watching a bad TV show, like watching SWAT, where people just all the time. They don't understand it has consequences, you know, to their shooting. But it just, you know, law and order doesn't even come up as something that's even on the list. I mean, yeah, we need to worry about immigration. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We need to worry about a Holocaust or nuclear war. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We need to worry about the economy because everything we do, every lunch we get now costs, you know, between $20 and $30 every time you do anything each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And today I was at, say, Olive Garden at lunch. Normally people are lined up there to get in at 11 o'clock. There wasn't that many people there today. Now, I don't know what that was about. You know, but Cracker Barrel's down 7% in foot traffic for the quarter. At some point, the wallet runs dry, and you don't have $30 to go out to Cracker Barrel to have lunch.
Look at gas in California. They showed it yesterday, last night it was. One place was $7.29 a gallon.
Oh, my gosh, and we are griping.
Regular.
We're griping about $3.98.
Well, it did go up after the when Iran shot all the missiles the other day.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Gas went up at least a dime or more.
We went from 3.19 here to 3.59.
You know,
I
quit looking at this a couple of months. Well, almost a year ago, and I started looking at it again. You know what an ounce of gold costs these days?
$2,500.
Nearly $2,300 today. Yeah. $2,360, I think.
It dropped.
That's
a little
amazing.
Bit. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's gone up.
You know, if you'd have bet on gold, you know, a year or so ago, you'd be in good shape.
I think it was November of 23 is when it jumped. It's jumped about $800 or $900 an ounce since then.
Yeah.
Which think is I could incredible. Get a couple hundred for this?
That should be worth a couple thousand right there. That should be worth a couple thousand right there.
We'll knock your teeth.
For those that can't see, that was a badge that was up.
Doug's got some gold teeth in there somewhere. I'm going to try to get out. when he kicks the bucket.
Is that what you're going to do, Jimmy? If I catch you doing that, Jimmy, I'm coming after you.
Well, I mean, it's just, we've already worked it out. You know, those are gold toothies.
But the truth is, it's just
another thing. You know, it's just now. This is one thing that's, and I, you know, I'm not cussing on here.
Yeah.
But I'm a threat to say something, you know, a bad word.
Well, I can edit. I can edit if you want.
And I wish I don't want to do that. But sometimes, you know, it just happens.
Yeah.
It has become, I mean, I don't know where Hollywood learned. There's a trailer for this new movie, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay.
And they drop, there's all these sentences in a row, and then there's the F-bomb in that sentence. The second sentence is followed by another F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in the trailer. We can't run that on television.
Yeah.
Get your license pulled. Where did they think it was okay to put that out there, you know, in a script where it's just F this, F that, F this, F that. I mean, it was all, I don't know how many times they dropped the F-bomb in that 2-minute trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. It's, and then Taylor Swift, she's saying words I surely can't say on the radio, but I mean, it's gotten pretty common to say some of these things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but even worse, and I got into an argument with one of my youngest daughters about it. She said, well, you know, they said this. And I said, it's not a matter of they did this or they did that. Be classier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a, you know, yeah, you can say it, but don't.
There's so many beautiful words in the English language that you don't really need to say that. And you can make your point without it. But, back to what we were talking about, the police, which is the same thing as you go into respect and what language they use.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most popular shows on TV now, it's Replace Cops, and it's on Patrol Live.
Okay.
And they're streaming.
That's right. So Peacock.
And there's there's still the show Cops, and then there's the streaming show on Patrol Live, and they actually do it live on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
And they're going to, and then they keep running them on stream through the week on like, I think it's Peacock. But anyway, you should see the people that they arrest. They are the scourge of the earth.
They are, really. That's why I kind of quit watching it, because I said, man, that's all cops get. I mean, in fact, they threw that show out of the city of Spokane,
that's right. Yeah,
because all they ever it was making people have a bad image of what Spokane was.
They didn't want to come visit.
Answer calls all day long in the nice section. They're in the bad. They're in the rough section, the poor section, because that's where most of the trouble is. And they're the ones that need the police the most.
Yeah. I think it would behoove people to, and I'm not suggesting everyone do it, but for the people that, you know, that have so much disdain for law enforcement, it would behoove them to ride along with a cop and see what they go through.
They would have to wear Depends.
Right, exactly.
Well, they couldn't do it. I mean, they'd die of a heart attack on the way.
I'm going to have to jump off here. It was great talking to you, Derek.
Doug, you too. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Busy.
Appreciate
you. From Jimmy's standpoint, I can't say that, but it was good seeing you.
Talking to you. Well, I appreciate
that. Peace to the universe.
You too. Tell your wife hi. And your son.
Yep, she's here. Thank you.
You bet. See you later, Doug. There he goes, Doug Paisley. And Jimmy, thanks for arranging that. That was nice to have him on.
Well, he just kind of stepped in. That was nice.
No, I love it. But he, you know, he's right. You know, you see those shows and you see the kind of people that that the cops have to deal with on a daily basis. And then you think about, the law enforcement, which, you know, the gentleman here who was 27 years old, and all I think about was he was making a routine traffic stop.
Well, anyway, it's just, we say this all too often.
Yeah.
That we're confused about which way society is going, you know, where we are going with the economy, where we're going with immigration, where we're going with crime and punishment.
No, you're right about all that. My
international relationships, our friends, our enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact in our educational system, you know, how screwed up are they probably?
Well, right now,
we don't know.
Right
now,
pretty screwed up right now. I mean,
just the things that they're not learning, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
or learning the wrong way, which is the case. I mean, people were stupid when I was in college.
Yeah, so. There's always stupid people.
They were doing things that ended up being okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about this bunch. I mean, the hippies were anti-war in Vietnam. We should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a stupid war. We shouldn't have been there in the first place. Dude, my brother died as a result of it, and I can see no purpose for that war whatsoever.
Jimmy, let me
with
ask
World
you something.
World War II, we were trying to save society. In the Korean War, I think we were trying to do that too, and we did save the people of South Korea. But
did Vietnam, did that time when we had the hippie movement and all that, did it feel like this now, or what's the difference? I mean,
I think they'd love to be. It's a poor excuse for it.
Yeah,
and plus they're on. I mean, again. You're just illiterate if you're saying something like hate the Jews.
Yeah, or the one that got me.
It's just, if you're fooling with a bee, you know, and you're playing with a bee's nest and you're swatting in there trying to, they're going to swat back and they've got a bad stinger.
Yeah. And the one that got me was the, I can't remember how they said it in the language they were teaching them how to chant and all that. But, death to America was a modified version of what. And I thought to myself, what are you talking about?
People, I mean, I think some of these people are just bad.
I would agree. I would agree.
Doing it or this anti-everything.
But
their
I don't
lives
even understand.
Probably a damn mess.
I don't even understand that statement. What do you do? You're living here. You're an American. If you live here and you're a citizen, you're an American, right?
If people are working or if they have a job or they've got a family or they've got a child, they don't have time to be out there.
Right.
You know,
I've never had time. I never have had time.
There. Me either. And, all I hear is a group of people that want to go to a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
I mean, they want us to work 32 hours a week. When did you ever in your life work 32 hours
never,
in a week?
Never. As we speak right now, I have, and this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but I do a lot of them because I love them. I have 3 jobs right now. If you count what you and I do on the podcast, which really isn't a job, it's just we do it for fun. But I have 3, at least 2 jobs right now, and I put way more than 40 hours a week.
But a lot of kids, I mean, you know what you're going to, you get out what you put in, and some things don't ever change. Oof. So you put in 32 hours a week, you're going to get about a 32 hour a week lifestyle.
Yeah.
Find me somebody who's successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, money doesn't, it's not that important to me. Well, okay. Money is what makes the world go round. Money has not been my father always told me,
mm-hmm.
do a job that you love. The money will follow.
I think that's exactly right. I do think that.
I mean, it, not always, in broadcasting at least anyway, but I think in the normal world, you know, I think that is a true statement. He loved law, and that's why he was good at it, and he certainly worked. I'm sure he was thinking about it all the time, even when he wasn't thinking about it.
I think
if
you
you're
fall-
doing it right,
yeah.
If you're doing your job right, it's not, I mean, yeah, if you work in a place where you're putting a widget inside a widget inside a widget, yeah, fine. 32 hours a week might be enough for that,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of 40. But I'm talking about other jobs, you know, that are salaried as opposed to hourly.
Yeah.
And
no, you've demonstrated.
Employee, you know, that's fine. Let them have a little more time off in the factory. Make work more efficiently if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And okay, whatever. But people who are doing jobs that people don't understand mostly,
mm-hmm.
like artists, musicians, broadcasters, journalists. If you're a journalist, you're not working 32 hours a week.
Oh, never.
You're thinking of your next story all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be a few hours in the day you're not thinking about it, but it's never far away.
Jimmy, you're
at least
a journalist.
The journalist I've ever known.
You are. I mean, honestly, you're 24/7, unless you're doing something like parachuting or something where you can't think about anything else.
Photography. If I'm doing photography,
fine.
Wildlife photography, something. I ain't got time to think about anything else.
That's the only place. Yeah, that's the only place. And
that's fine. We all need something. Some people fish.
Mm-hmm.
They do that.
Yeah.
Although I think fishing is where you do most of your thinking for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing anything else. You're just waiting for the fish to do something. You're on the fish's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just think that we've got, and I don't know how it happened with people. I don't know what people did to have the result that we have. Some of it is We've never lived in a time. Well, I mean, one of the, I can think right now, the guy, one of the guys who trained me to be a patrol boy at school in the fifth and sixth grade,
yeah,
Billy Russell,
mm-hmm,
he got killed in Vietnam. And we've got a whole bunch of people today, mostly, that have never had any, had, the country hasn't been at war, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had people.
That is true. What war?
Certainly not, nothing like Vietnam.
No.
You know, where really the whole country's attention was on that big piece of crap that it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I had Billy Russell killed there. I knew others.
Yeah.
And I've known policemen, you know, and firemen who have actually died doing what they do. And I think a lot of this is turtle from a lot of people who are turtles that haven't been out enough in life to know these people. I guarantee you the life experience of anyone that I'd snatch up by the head,
mm-hmm,
there at Columbia, they don't have the experience of a butterfly.
You brought something up. You made me think of something when
don't know squat.
We were talking about the military and you were talking about, we lost, you know, Billy in the war or what have you. There was a generation, an entire generation that was in the military. I mean, unless you had flat arches
form,
or something, or you had a bad back.
In some form, or worked in a factory.
Yes, yes.
To support the military or
yes,
something there in the middle for, in the 1940 to 1945.
Now,
they were the whole entire country was involved in some way.
Right. Unless, but I think those people, are slowly fading out.
Well, they're gone.
And so now what we have is an entire generation that has never, I mean, with the exception of the men and women that serve now, and God bless you for that.
We had some Iran stuff, you know, the Iran-Iraq war in Afghanistan and some of those things.
Yes, that but there was no mass draft. There was
clear.
Yeah.
But still, we've got a whole bunch of people that just don't, they're not being taught about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not also being taught that there's a world out there that's so big that wants to kill us all.
Yeah, that's true too. That is so
true.
Or at
least their leaders do.
I don't, this is not changing gears. It's along the same line. There's a show on Apple TV. There's two of them. One's about Lincoln and the assassination. The other one's about Ben Franklin with Michael Douglas. Fantastic. Uh-huh. It started fantastic.
Good. I want to see Ben Franklin.
I think it's just called Franklin. And my wife and I were watching it the other night. I said, why do you think all these movies are coming out right now? And I said, maybe it's because there's an entire generation that doesn't realize how we got to where we are.
Yeah. Right.
And all the hoops and hurdles that we as a nation had to go through. We had to go over to France and beg them to help us with weapons and money and troops so we could defeat the British. I'm talking early on in the, you know, in America's life. I mean, the Louisiana Purchase and all that stuff. I'm sure there's a ton of people that don't really know anything about that.
They don't. And the education stuff, you know, has been so consumed with math and science,
mm-hmm,
that we were behind on for a while, that they gave up teaching, or don't teach much, history, geography, and things like that.
Yeah,
that
I
are
agree.
Critical.
I agree.
And, you know, again, I don't think everybody needs to know everything about the sciences and math.
Mm-hmm.
Math is about thinking, I'm told, but that's just not how my brain works.
Yeah, some people
don't.
So
that was nothing, you know, that I'm glad last thing I did was geometry, and it had to be taught right, or I'd done bad in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not a math person.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no.
I certainly know the other stuff. And I think we have to have a mix, well-rounded mix of things. I don't know what these people are taking or doing or
I don't either.
Or what they've experienced. And I mean, when I was an EMT, one of the first I was a baby, so I know it. And
yeah,
I've had babies. But I wasn't no daddy at that point, I don't think. I wasn't. I wasn't quite a dad yet.
Yeah.
But I remember very well going to this place where the woman had the baby in the bath in the toilet.
Oh, geez.
And it was one of my first experiences. And it was a very extremely low income family and
mm-hmm.
all that. And until you've lived and see what there are, I had no idea people live like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I didn't come from that side of the, I was, you know, from the other side.
Yeah.
And going in there and doing that and dealing with I remember going to this house where there were bodies down on the ground and the captain had to get permission to knock the door down because we saw bodies in there.
Oh, Jimmy.
And it was in the middle of winter. and went and they knocked and they got permission and knocked the door down to get in there, and it about knocked you out because they had used the oven for heat.
Oh no.
Because they didn't have central heating, and they were alcoholics, and they drank themselves to death with vodka or something, and were both laid out, passed out, dead on the floor, husband and my, man and woman, at least anyway, and half naked and everything. It was weird.
Yeah.
But I'd never been exposed to anything like that.
Yeah.
It was real, in real world.
Right, right.
Oh, you know, and being around people in an EMT in the back of an ambulance with a guy that's been shot. Mm-hmm. I never heard of anything like that. And putting my hole, there was trying to find where the bullet, if it had an exit wound on his back, and it was hard to find. And that gave me all kinds of experiences in life that changed me forever.
Yeah, they do. Those kind of things do.
It does. I think if you're going to try to understand the world, you've got to experience some of the world.
Said.
I did a Walter Mitty lifestyle. I was a paramedic. I went to EMT school and all that stuff, licensed, to do. And I saw so much.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I saw so much.
That is one thing. You just really encapsulated something for me, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, as you listen to this podcast, but you think about it for a minute, and you think about the people who have lived some life. And when I say that, I'm not talking 30-something. I'm talking 50, 60, 70, right? Yeah. You've put some notches in your belt, right? You've lived through the years. We can learn so much from that group of
people. Daddy always
said
that. Listen to old people is what he said.
Gosh, that's true.
And this was when I was a kid. He said, spend some time, and when you can, listen to old people. Because they got a lot of sense.
I think you're right on the money. And if there's one thing we can say to any young folks listening today, we love the heck out of you. I got my own young folks. I got my own kids and everything like that. That they're young. They're living the way they were brought up. But I impress upon you, try to glean as much as you can from someone who's lived some life, and you'll be the better for it.
It's hard to be wise when you're young.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
So it's kind of 180 degrees away from that. It's why you have soldiers. You don't find 50-year-old soldiers jumping on grenades.
Right.
You find the 20-year-old soldiers doing that because they don't know it's going to kill them.
Yeah.
Because they think nothing can hurt them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's part of being young when you have motorcycles and you drive too fast and all that stuff. You think nothing can hurt you.
That's right.
You drive your car recklessly, nobody can hurt you. You're bulletproof and that's part of cool thing about being young.
Yes, it is.
You're not so worried. You know too much when you get older. You can't have as much fun
because
all the stupid stuff that can happen to you.
Right, right.
And the kids don't want to hear that. I understand that.
No, I do too.
As long as it's not something that can kill you.
I do too. But, of course, the closer we get to the end of that line, the more you think about it, the more you think, gosh, maybe I would have done a few things different, at least for me, eating-wise. Maybe for people that have smoked their whole life, maybe they wouldn't have smoked. I don't know. But that knowledge you can get from somebody who's lived a little life, and that's why I love doing this podcast every week, is I just learn something every week, and hopefully somebody else out there learns something.
Well, I'm staying confused, and I don't know what we're going to do about this upcoming election.
Yeah, I'm confused with that too.
The Trump trial to millions of people looks like something they'd have in the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty strict talk, but it does look like that. Whether it is or not, I don't know. We haven't seen all the evidence of this stuff, but it sure feels like, that some of this stuff is doing add-on, it's monkey business. It's monkey business from the prosecutorial side.
Yeah, I will give you that.
Misdemeanor to a felony and everything else.
Yeah.
But again, he may have lived fast and hard and just got caught. It was kind of like, round and round the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it stopped. Pop, goes the weasel.
Yeah,
no. And you have musical chairs, and you sit down.
I don't disagree.
And you have a chair.
And obviously, we don't know everything that's going on with that whole thing. But I look at it, and I think, if he paid somebody to be quiet, did he pay him to not meddle or not be known about the election, or did he pay because he didn't want his son Barron to know that he was on the side?
Where they got them is falsifying business records.
Yeah,
there's a certain amount of purity you're supposed to do, in that and like with taxes and everything else. So, but again, there are a lot of people saying, oh, my God, they better not look at me.
Well, sure.
Because he was out there in the spotlight, so he got his head basically knocked off.
Well, it's like the old saying, throwing rocks in glass houses, right?
And then, you know, the Biden people, who knows what's going on over on that side, because they're on the winning team right now. And so they're not looking at certain things they could. But what comes been around comes around. And who's to say when the Republicans, if they ever get back in charge, that they won't indict Joe Biden in Oklahoma and charge him with something?
I mean, this is
a go-around thing that, you know, you're breaking, you shouldn't do, because payback is not acceptable. We can't go around with every leader we have. As soon as they get out of power, we treat them like they're in the Soviet Union and something happens to them.
Right, right, right.
You're only strong if you're in power. That is the way to go to get to a dictatorship.
Well, sure, because then you're going to stay in power to keep yourself
safe. Right, so you're going to stay in power so they can't get you when you get out.
Yeah.
I mean, we're doing a lot of mistakes in things.
I think we're also
reacting, and then maybe, you know, there's a lot of people who don't have everybody's best interest, you know, at heart.
I think
I can't understand California. I think California's got a big heart that they would love to make everybody that's in a foreign country that's living in squalor come to the wonderful United States and live.
Yeah.
But we can't do that, or we won't be the wonderful United States anymore. We can't handle, you can't fly 500 people in a 200-seater airplane, or the airplane won't get off the ground. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
we can't handle that many people to help. We want to help people. Everybody wants to help people, but you can't help too many people at one time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Early method, which no one, while this group that's in power thinks that's okay, I don't know. We do need people to cut the grass and to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fine, but we'd also need people that are capable of doing work to do some work. But I don't know that we're going in that direction.
I mean, Supreme Court is listening right now to a homeless case where they're talking about the homeless in these cities, giving them, I guess, bills or tickets for sleeping in places where they shouldn't.
Sleeping right there. Well, can you do that?
Yeah, clearly they can't pay for rent, so they're not going to be able to pay for a ticket.
Pay a ticket.
I mean, that's just common sense.
My dad always said, as a judge, he said, because everything in law is about precedent.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they work with things, precedent. Yeah. This is how this ruled before. So that's how they stack it up on how they rule now.
Yeah.
Bad cases, which that sounds like that one is, creates bad law.
I do not disagree with that at all.
Bad cases make bad law.
Yeah.
And sometimes these bad cases like that, you rule, and then people, it's just unfortunate when those things happen. The homeless people, I don't know what the heck you do about that.
I don't either, but I think it's a rich country,
but I mean, I know you know, they're taking hotels that are old 50s and 60s motels and turning those into homeless places. But some of these people are mentally ill, and we're not addressing that at all.
I agree.
We're just giving them a room.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think it comes full circle to me when you say we can't help everybody, right? We can't. It's impossible.
It's triage. You can't help everybody
in a
fire or a shootout or anything else. And we've got to triage and help what we can help.
Yes. Yes.
And then move on and help some more people after that.
Right.
But we're not helping the ones we've got right now.
That's what I'm getting at.
The fact that we leave people out, you know, it's just like downtown Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes, don't go down there, you know, to some of those numbered streets, 3rd Street and some of the other ones in the middle of downtown L.A. where people have basically taken, they live on the street. They have campsites on sidewalks and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And
Because the weather's good in L.A. and it's not so good in Minneapolis. So that's why they don't have that issue.
Right. And so let's open the borders up and let's bring more people that are going to live on the street and not try to figure it out.
Or
right?
that are going to get in a shootout with cops.
Or
they're going to do bad things and break into people's homes, including the mayor and all that.
It seems like we
do a lot of things that are not common sense.
Yeah.
And that's what makes things crazy.
No, you're right about that. So much to think about with today's podcast. And we'll do it again next week. And great having Doug on today and you. And you guys, I mean, it was fun. And we'd love to have him back. And I still want to get your brother on.
I know my brother.
We keep saying that. He served a lot of time in the military. And he'd be a fun interview to have on. But Jimmy, I mean, trying to solve the world's problems one day at a time, and I don't know if there is a solution, but we have to move in the other direction.
You have to admit you have a problem before you can fix it.
You got that right. Until next week, I'm Derek Walker. He is...
I'm Jimmy Carter.
Good day.